to Matthew 28. And what we're going to do today is I'm going to read, Matthew 28, 1 through 10. And what I want to do is I want to read through the four Gospels of Jesus risen from the grave. And I want you just to compare, and I want you to listen and read along. But I want you to just to pick up some things here as we go through. It says in Matthew 28, 1, it says, "Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, and he is, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to his disciples the word. And they said, then they went to tell the disciples, 'Behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice,' as we've seen this morning. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" I'm a little bit deep this morning. Just a little bit, please. Mark 16, 1 through 11. It says, "Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Solomon brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said amongst themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But when he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, and he said to you.' So they went quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Verse 9 says, "Now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe." Catch that. They did not believe. Got two more. Go to Luke 24, 1 through 12. "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women went with them. Come to the tomb, bringing spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be like idle tales. Listen to that. Their words seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. And then in John 20, 1 through 18, and I love the way John writes. I like the book of John, and it's just Jesus' best friend. It's just the heart of the Father. It's the heart of a friend. And as he writes, he says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved," which was John, right? "And he said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb, so they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there. And he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb," just like Simon, the bulldog, right? "He goes into the tomb, saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also." He said, "Man, Peter went in, so now I can go in too. You know, I can follow Peter," the boldness. "Then the other disciple who came to the tomb went in also and saw and believed. For he yet did not know the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes." Now listen to this in verse 11. "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have taken him or have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is a teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God.' And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things." You know, this is supposed to be a joyful time. And when you read about some things that you see the disciples were afraid and they didn't know and they were fearful and scared and all the stuff that went along with what happened those last 3 days. And it's amazing that they still couldn't believe. It's amazing they still couldn't believe. You know, as we started this Easter season, as you started to watch across your social media post, I don't know, a lot of you guys watch social media, watch the news, or watch your Facebook channels. Something's going on. As you watch some of this stuff, and a lot of this stuff is going on, and they promote Easter, which is awesome, promoting Easter. And we were here Wednesday night, and someone said it's 420, right? What is today? April 20th, right? What is April 20th? If you smoke marijuana, what is April 20th? It's the marijuana day, right? So I seen this promotion from the social media, and it's this pastor. He's in this SUV, and he's rolling up to the church, and he gets out, and there's smoke rolling out of the SUV, and he's like, "Come on, it's 4:20, you know, Easter come," and we do so many things to bring people into the church, and all we need is to bring the risen Savior. Just tell them about the risen Savior is alive today. He is alive today. I will stay put right here. I can't walk today. That's all right. But you know, we have made Easter more than these promotional things. I say we're forgetting what the gospel is all about. We're forgetting what Easter is all about, because it is Resurrection Day. It is not Easter, but it is Resurrection Day. We have these Easter egg hunts, and we have all this stuff going on. And the world, which we learned a few weeks ago, you know, not even hardly 50% of the people believe in Jesus anymore. Do they even believe in God anymore? And it just keeps falling away since the 1940s. And all we want to see is people want Easter. They want candy. They want baskets. They want bicycles. They want TVs. They want this program, promotions to come in. Come in on Easter. We'll give away a TV. Come on Easter. You know what I'm giving away today? I'm giving away Jesus today. I'm giving away the salvation that He provides today. That's what we're giving away today. We're not giving nothing else but eternal life for you. That's what Easter is all about. The resurrection is about eternal life for you. It is the new covenant in God. It is the new covenant in the blood of Christ that brings salvation to the world. That's what we bring in today. That's why we rejoice. That's why we can shout and hoot and holler and say, you know what? I am saved for eternity. I am going to be with God in eternity. But see, the problem is we change our values to bring more people into the church. We change our values, and what happens is when we change our values, we change the way we portray Jesus. And there's got to be a way where we show Jesus is the supernatural, all-living God. And how do we do that? We do that through our actions and our character and how we carry ourselves. But that's how we bring people to Jesus. By bringing the values of Jesus that we live by. You know, the battles that we go through are not won on a single day. Listen to this. The battles that we go through, I'm kind of jumping gears a little bit. The battles that we go through are not won on a single day. So Easter, that battle of resurrection life, was not just won on that day. It's not the day that He came out of the grave. Is that's all it is. It is perfect for us because it brings new covenant. It brings the new covenant of God into our lives. It gives us the ability that God brings reconciliation into humanity and brings a relationship back with us. But you know what? When Jesus was born, and from every day forth, from every day that Jesus was born and He walked the earth, He began to fight the battle that was ahead of Him coming to the cross. I used to play for a CYO team, Christian Youth Organization is what you call it. I think it's Catholic, isn't it? I think it's Catholic. But through high school, I played for a CYO organization. We played all across Indiana. And we won the championship undefeated. But it didn't start, I didn't win the championship at the last game. We won the championship when we first came together at the very first practice that we intended to put our effort into winning a championship. We intended to put our effort into winning and giving my best. And from the very moment that Jesus came out of the womb and He began to be a baby and do all the stuff, and they took Him to the temple every year on Passover, right? Every year He goes. He was preparing Himself for the cross, for that last Passover year. See, it's not the battle that you fight today, it's the battle you're going to fight tomorrow. How have you prepared yourself for that battle? See, the resurrection is the manifestation of the battle that Jesus went through. Could you imagine not being prepared for the cross? Could you imagine not being prepared for the scourging that he took? You know, that's just, it's something to be caught. It's something to be arrested, not knowing what's coming down the line. It's something to be arrested, and then all of a sudden, hey, you've done this sin. We're going to tie you to these two poles, and we're going to scourge you 39 times. Actually, they don't know if it was 39 times because they probably lost count. They really don't know how many times they scourged him, but for the Jewish law, it was 40 minus 1, so they didn't go over the law. But most likely, those Roman soldiers didn't care about Jewish law. And so the scourging took place on someone that knew it was coming. You know, us, we would not know it's coming. We would be laid out and not even prepared, and it's going to happen. But Jesus knew days, months, and years before he was going to the cross, he knew that he was going to be scourged. He knew that he was going to be unrecognizable. He knew that his beard would be pulled out. He knew that a crown of thorns would be on his head. He knew that a spear would pierce his side. He knew that his hands would be put upon the cross. And to know that and still go through with it is amazing to me. It's amazing to me. You know, has anybody got any fear? I used to have a fear in high school. People wanted to always fight and do all that stuff. And I didn't mind fighting, but I had a fear someone had a knife. I didn't mind using my hands and fighting, but I always feared someone having a knife. I never wanted to go into a fight because I thought, man, these people probably carry knives. But when it happened, you just reacted. See, when Jesus knew that they were carrying knives, Jesus knew the consequence and the cost that it was going to be. So when I look at it, the resurrection is the manifestation of the battle he went through. And what happens is from the very moment he, at 12 years old, when he is in the temple and he's teaching the rabbi, the rabbis and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's teaching them, man, he's telling them all about himself. And he's just so knowing that he's going to go to the cross and knowing these people are going to betray him and knowing all this is going to happen. Jesus doesn't get resurrected if he taps out. You got me? At any moment during this process, Jesus could have tapped out, said, I'm done. At any moment. Me and you would have already tapped out. Me and you would have tapped out on when they took us before the Sanhedrin and started hitting us and you know, we'd have tapped out then. Some of us might have made it to the scourging. Some of us might have made it there, but after that, I guarantee you would have tapped out. You would have never made it to the end. But he loved you so much that he pressed on and pressed in through the scourging. He had to endure the unlawful arrest. In the middle of the night, they arrest him. In the middle of the night, it's by Jewish custom, they were not supposed to arrest by night. So he was arrested unlawfully. It was so wrong for them to arrest him. The judgmental and false accusations came from the priest. The scourging that he had to go through. The crown of thorns that placed on his head. And then carrying the beam, the cross, to the place of the skull. That he was so weak that he could not carry it because he had to have Simon, the Cyrene, carry it for him because he was depleted of energy. He endured the crucifixion, the nails in his hands and his feet. Excuse me. In the 6 hours of suffering on the cross. Here's the thing, bare and naked, because they just didn't do it just to put you on the cross, but they stripped every garment from him. Naked and bare before the world to see. Humiliated. That's what they wanted, dishonor and humiliation to a Messiah they said was not the king. And here he is. He takes all this humiliation for you and for me that we could go through our humiliation. He could take our stuff away. He could take our bitterness away. He could take our sins away, our fears away. And he stood there on the cross 6 hours, bare naked before the world, dishonored, humiliated, and mocked by everyone around him. See, without the blood, without their blood, there can be no remission of sin. So he could have went through the scourging and never died, and they somehow killed him and not really shedding much blood. And was it worth salvation to you? See, he had to deplete himself of the blood. Blood had to be shed so you could be saved. Blood had to be shed so your sins could be covered. The victory of the cross was won every day of Jesus' life. Every day Jesus walked the earth, the victory was won then, because the battle was taking place every day. See, our victories are won because we put the time in before the issues and the problems arise. To be a matter of fact, that is, everyone in this place is going to go through an issue or a problem or a battle in your life, and that's a guaranteed fact. Every one of us will go through a battle in our life. And I don't know if you're prepared for that battle or not, but I'm going to guarantee you 100% that every one of us will go through a battle in our life that will make us question our Christianity. It'll happen. How are you prepared for that moment? How are you prepared for that moment today as you sit in these seats, as you listen online? How are you prepared for that moment? It might be a life or death situation. It might be the doctor coming in and said, you got stage 4 cancer, and there's only one avenue that you're going to go. Oh, but God is the only way that you can be saved. Oh, but God is the only way that you can be healed. Are you prepared for that battle that is in front of you? Because I guarantee one day there is a battle coming for you and me. Are you going to be ready for it before the problem arises? Job was a man of God, just right. He was a really good man of God, and he was faithful to God. Even after losing everything, he never turned his back on God. Why did he not turn his back on God? Because he knew who God was, and he was faithful to him. He was faithful to him. Mary Magdalene, we read this morning, Mary Magdalene tarried at the tomb, not knowing or even understanding, but she tarried, and Jesus shows up. I've read that story many times, and I didn't recognize until yesterday as I was reading, and I read where Mary Magdalene went early. John states that she was by herself, and the other states that she was with others, but it says that she went very early in the morning in the dark hours of the night going to the tomb because, see, where great things, where many things have been taken from you, there is something about how much you love that person that done it for you. And she is so undone because God, Jesus himself, set her free from the demonic oppression that was upon her life, from the adultery situations in her life. And she, a woman that cared for him so much, was going to the tomb because she wanted to weep and wanted just to mourn him. But it says that she seen the stone rolled away and he wasn't there. And so she runs and tells the disciples, Peter and John. And here's what I never really picked up before. And it says that they ran off, Peter and John, but she followed. She followed, and after Peter and John had noticed that he is gone and he's not there, she waited at the tomb. She waited at the tomb, and she wept, her heart in anguish, her heart not understanding. And there's times and there's people in this place today where you might not understand. But I'm going to tell you what, if you press in enough and you press into God and you press into our Savior, he's going to show up in your life. He's going to show up in where you're at. All you got to do is tarry just a little bit. See, there's times in our life that we need to tarry. not getting impatient, but just waiting on Him. See, a lot of times, guys, when we come before the Lord, we do all the talking. You ever been there? You ever been all the talking? And then you walk out of the room or you walk out of your prayer closet because you're done? You didn't wait for the answer? There's a time that we need to tarry. There's a time that we need to sit before the feet of God and say, you know what, I don't even know where I'm at. I don't even know the situation I'm in. Mary Magdalene is there. She has not a clue. She don't understand what has just happened. And she sits there and waits, and she just sits in that place. And unbeknownst to her, the Lord Jesus shows up. Man, you trust in Him, and He will be there for you. He will be there for you every time. As we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, let us never forget the cost, the price that was paid. And we look to this day. Resurrection Sunday, this is the Super Bowl, as Sean said. This is the Super Bowl of Super Bowl Sundays. This is when all the people come to church. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Super Bowl happened on Friday, or on Thursday, if you would admit me to say. It wasn't really on Friday, but it was on a Thursday. The Super Bowl happened when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was pressing in and saying, man, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. He was not really saying that, but we'll get into that later. But He is pressing in that your will I'm going to do. And He's going to the cross. Without this, there is no resurrection. Without the cross, without the scourging, without the crown of thorns, there is no resurrection. This is what it is. This is the end of the Old Testament, or this is the end of the Old Covenant, should I say, and end of the Old Testament as well. Jesus lived in the Old Testament. He worked through the Old Testament. He was crucified in the Old Testament. But then all of a sudden, He's rose again, and the New Testament begins to happen. And the new covenant of God in blood for you, for the salvation and sins, forgiveness of sin is now available to you. See, the resurrection is the celebration and exuberant joy. But I'm going to tell you what, never forget the cost. Never forget the cost. Even as you come before the communion table today, and each and every day you take communion, never forget the cost. Resurrection speaks of hope. Resurrection speaks of new life. Being born again, a new creation, the old life is gone. Sorry. Something in my throat. Resurrection speaks of hope, eternal life with God. Do you believe that? Eternal life. This is what it's all about, eternal life with Him, a fellowship with Him forever and ever and ever. Revelation speaks of transformation, encourages a transformation in a person's life with new actions, new attitudes, new speech, reflecting a renewed outlook. See, what happens is when the Holy Spirit comes within you, you change completely. You of who you used to be. The old things have passed away and new things have begun. This is resurrection power. This is what happens to a new believer when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that old things are passed away, that new things are beginning. That is resurrection power. But here's the thing. It doesn't just happen because we say, Lord, come and live within my life. It comes from a lifestyle that you begin to change. You cannot go out and smoke marijuana. You cannot go out and drink the bottom of the bottle. You can't go out and do the things that you want to do in the earth and then expect salvation to come upon you and stay upon you. It's so much more than that. You have to make a choice in your life to live your life how you choose to live, but live it for the Lord. Because if you don't understand how to live for the Lord, then I say you get into the Word and you start to read how to live for the Lord. There's too many people in the earth today that are in the United States, should I say, that confess being Christians but don't even know a thing about Christianity. They don't even know a thing about the resurrection. They don't even know a thing about the crucifixion. They don't even know a thing about any of the stories except for maybe a few like Noah, but they don't even know about it. But they're saved, set free, right? That's what they want to believe. But there is a cost. There is a cost to our freedom. Resurrection speaks of power to live like Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Resurrection power. Resurrection speaks a life of overcoming any obstacle that you might face. See, here's the thing. And I'm going to close here. The battles we will face in the future are won by how we live, today. Listen to this. The battles that you're going to face, and you're going to face them, I'm going to guarantee it. I don't care if you're a believer or not believer. You're going to face battles in your life. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. There is no other way. We live in a fallen world, and I know we're going to face battles. But it is going to be won by what you do today. How you live today, how you change your life today, that battle will be won or lost by what you do today. Dedicated to know the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. You need to be dedicated to know the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Living out our life in a way that is pleasing unto Him. If you don't know what is pleasing unto Him, has anybody ever been a kid in this place? Maybe some of you are still kids, right? Here's how you live pleasing to the Lord. Honor your father and honor your mother. If you honored your father and honored your mother, and you still do today, and you did the things that they asked you to do, most likely you're going to be pleasing to the Lord. When you honor them and respect them, see, it's all about loving them, honoring them, and respecting them. Jesus, as you honor Him and respect Him, there's things that He requires of you. As a parent, you know that you require things of your children, right? Some of us discipline different than others. Some of us discipline, you know, some of us have got a little bit heavier hand than others, and we see how our children turn out. Sometimes God will discipline us. It's okay. I've been disciplined enough, but I'm going to be disciplined some more. Because I mess up just like anybody else. I mess up all the time, and He corrects me very quickly. And it's how you take that correction, right? It's how you take that correction. Could be back in the day when my dad used to whip me. I'll tell him, my dad, he's okay though. But I tell him myself, I didn't like getting whipped. I didn't like it. It hurt. And I would run off. I would get my three whacks and run off to the room. And I hate you, Dad. And I hate this and hate that, right? That's what we all did. Anybody ever do that? Nobody ever did that? And the next day, it's normal. Life is normal. You still love your dad. You really never hated your dad. You never really hated your mom. But now when I get corrected, it's different. You don't hate the Lord. You don't run into a room and cry and say, oh God, why did you treat me this way? Why did you discipline me this way? You don't do that. It's because He is looking out for your best interests. Living a life in a way that is pleasing to Him. If you live a life that is pleasing to your mother and father and you do the right things, you're going to live a life pleasing to Him. They want you to grow up good. Growing up in our faith and trusting our Savior. This is something we need to grow up in our faith. We need to grow up in who we are in Him. If you're not reading your Word, you're not growing up. You're immature. How many like to be immature? Does anybody like to be immature? We see our 13-year-olds. You know, they really think they're 18-year-olds. We got some 7-year-olds that think they're 15-year-olds. Immature as all get out, right? This is what we look like if we are not studying the Word of God. We're immature. We have no clue when people talk about things, we have no clue what is going on, what they're saying. Immature Christians drink milk. Mature Christians eat meat. And I love a steak, right? I love a steak. We need to grow up in our faith, trusting our Savior. We need to repent. Every time we fail, repent, repent, and repent. And you're never not going to stop repenting until He comes back, either raises you out of the ground or raptures you out of the earth. So that's the day we wait for, the trumpet sounding. Keeping our hearts soft and pliable before the Lord. Listen to that one more. This is the thing. Keeping your heart pliable before the Lord. Never allow your heart to get hardened before the Lord. Never allow, because you prayed something today and you didn't get an answer today. Never allow your heart to get hardened because you prayed today and it didn't answer a year from now. Never let your heart get hardened because you prayed today and you never got answered for 5 years. Don't let your heart get hardened. Just trust in the Lord. Trust Him, and as He opens those doors up, He knows the timing for your life. He knows the maturity in your life. He knows you. He knows you from your mother's womb is what the Bible says, right? And think of this, He is the risen Savior and a King of Kings. He is the Lord. And so what I tell you today is each one of us is going to go through a season. Each one of us is going to go through a difficult time. Each one of us will not be prepared, but be prepared. Jesus knew exactly the day. He knew exactly the Passover that He was going to lay His life down. For 1700 years before Christ laid His life down, they took a lamb when they come out of Egypt. They took a lamb and they slaughtered it. And every year after that, they took a lamb and they slaughtered it for their sins. And Jesus comes along that very Passover day. The day, the perfect day, the right timing and everything. And He stretches His arms out on the cross. And here's the price that He paid for you and I, that He knew He was going to the cross. He knew He was going to be speared in the side. He knew that He was going to die, humiliated death upon the cross. And He still went to the cross for you and I. Always remember this, because this is the price that was paid for you and me and for all the earth. The cross. That is the Super Bowl. The resurrection is the life that He gives us. It is the freedom that He gives us. But none of it happens unless there is a fight and a battle before the victory is won. And the victories are sweeter because of the difficult times we go through. Amen. I'm just going to do this and we're going to move on to communion. But I know we have some new people in here, and I'm not going to press into you or I'm not going to press on you. But as Sean opened up today, we're all walking down this same road. And at the end of that road, there's going to be a why. One is going to a living God and one is going to a dead God. What road are you on today? The Bible tells us that wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to everlasting life, and few will find it. If you're here today and you don't know where you're going to end up, and you want to change your life, then today is today, and the moment is now. There's no time to linger or wait for salvation. It is today. It is now. So if anybody would like to be saved today, just raise your hand. Anybody that don't know the Lord, just raise your hand and that would like to be changed. Anyone? And I take